This week, we'll look more closely at efforts to care for our nation's veterans with AFGE VA Local 1988 Executive Vice President Geddes Scott and Vietnam Veterans of America Policy and Government Affairs Executive Director Rick Weidman. But first, we've been joined by AFGE VA Local 903 Chief Steward Donald White. Donald, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir.
Donald, we sit here today at AFGE's National VA Council Convention. Talk to me about some of the training opportunities that are here this week for the attendees.
You know, I believe that when I do come to these types of settings, I believe that the most beneficial thing is to get with the senior members of AFGE and pick their brains. I think that, in fact, is a better training opportunity than the organized classes. Being able to sit down and discuss things with the veteran AFGE members and present our issues to them and then pick their brains and see what they tell us in return and give us examples. I've always found that to be my best training opportunity at every one of these events that I do go to.
So for you, it's really about exchanging ideas and talking with your fellow union brothers and sisters?
That is correct.
Will you be attending any classes while you're here?
Yes, sir. I should be attending several classes during this time frame. I'm actually not sure which one I signed up for, but I would venture to say that the majority of the classes I've always attended have always been excellent.
So talk to me about how coming to an event like this enables you to gain new skills, expand upon existing skills, to take back to the local and use in situations that benefit the members.
Again, I think I'm going to go back to what I first stated when we started this interview. Being able to network with the older AFGE members, the seasoned chief stewards, the seasoned presidents, being able to discuss with them and with my fellow chief stewards situations that are very similar, especially at veterans hospitals, because the issues are pretty much the same no matter where you go. I would venture to say one of the major issues that we're having right now is mandation. We're having nurses that are being mandated within 30 minutes of the end of their shift, which is causing a lot of undue hardship for our members as well as our non-bargaining unit members. I think it's ridiculous that they're being mandated when they're not following the law.
We know one of the big issues within the VA is this idea of some employees not having the same bargaining rights as other employees. Can you talk to me about that and really what that means for the workforce?
That's correct. I feel that it should all be fair and equal, and it's definitely not happening. Treating individuals fairly and across the board is the only way to do this. That's why I got into this in the first place. It wasn't for my glory, for my benefit. It was for the defense of all individuals that I work with, understanding and hearing about the persecution that takes place for individuals. For instance, if they are injured on the job, OWCP, and they're not being handled correctly, the agency says, to heck with it. You know, I'm not going to help you. I want you to work. And I don't believe that you were injured. I want you to come back to work. OWCP, in my opinion, is another big issue that the VA hospital itself doesn't really invest in. They pretty much tell people, you can handle that all by yourself. Here's the forms. Go take care of it. And there's not enough OWCP physicians out there to support the injuries that are taking place. If the rules are followed and agencies, the VA hospital itself ensures that people are safe and injuries don't take place, then they wouldn't have anything to worry about.
Can you explain to the audience here for us what the difference is between a Title V employee and a Title 38 employee?
My best way to describe that would be, I hate to say non-professional and professional unions, but that's pretty much what it boils down to. It's my understanding that Title 38 are your higher level education levels and your Title V are your lower education levels. And I don't take anything away from Title V individuals because just like when I was active duty military, just because you're a private does not necessarily mean that you don't know something that the general knows. So I have a lot of respect for Title V people. They work hard and they don't get paid very well for what they do. An example would be housekeepers. I know many, many housekeepers that work like dogs, excuse the pun there, but they don't make enough money, and they work and they work, and they don't get the recognition that they deserve. On the other side of that coin, I know a lot of Title 38 or what would qualify as Title 38 employees, senior RNs, master's degree RNs that don't do anything, in my opinion, but yet they get all the glory and all the credit. I just don't feel it's equal.
Of course, as we've heard over the last several months, particularly as it relates to sequestration and the furloughs and the government shutdown, there are some out there, perhaps on Capitol Hill, who think that federal employees can afford to be furloughed because of this perception that they make a lot of money. But you're giving a clear example here, especially with the Title V employees. That may not be the case.
That is true. I feel that a lot of these Title V employees, I go back to the housekeepers again because I know how hard they work, and our VA hospital in Columbia is extremely clean, and our Title V, our housekeepers do an excellent job cleaning as well as representing the VA and taking care of veterans. And I wholeheartedly approve of them and appreciate what they do. I just enjoy every one of my brothers and sisters that are out there working their butts off for the veterans, as I am a veteran, and I wholeheartedly feel that we need to take care of veterans.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're here with Donald White, the chief steward of AFGE's VA Local 903 at the Harry S. Truman Memorial Veterans Hospital. Donald, what brought you to federal service?
Well, that's a good question. 2 days out of high school, I actually went into the military. I went in as an Army medic, and eventually the Army offered me to become a LPN or a 91 Charlie for those veterans out there that know what I'm talking about. So I was a Army medic and a 91 Charlie, or an Army-trained LPN, for many years. I actually spent about 16 years, 3 months, 2 days in the military. I am what they called QMP'd, where the military decided that there were too many people in, and they wanted to put certain individuals out, and I kind of fell in that category. Did get an honorable discharge, which wholeheartedly I should have gotten honorable discharge, but I unfortunately wasn't able to stay in long enough to get my retirement. On my exit of the active duty military, I had an officer ask me what my plans were, and I told him, well, eventually my plans were to go back to the VA hospital or go to the VA hospital and become a employee there. And then using my GI benefits, I went back to school and got my RN degree. So I'm actually a registered nurse and work in an emergency room 50% of the time, or half time. The other half time, I'm actually in the union office.
Talk to me about what seems to be a career that you've made out of serving your country.
Well, you know, my father was Navy. My brothers were Air Force and Army. And my whole family has always been medical and military. So we kind of all fall in that category. Obviously, anytime you speak with a nurse, they're going to be a caring type person. They're going to be a caregiver, and they're going to want to take care of people. And that's the way I've always been. My mother was a certified nursing assistant for over 40 years, and short. I mean, she's 4'8", but love her, obviously. And she worked and worked and worked with a sixth grade education, and provided seven children with a place to live and a home, and just a fantastic lady. But overall, I think it's just caring. I think it's the way I was raised, to care for people.
Speaking of caregivers, particularly in the VA, they face an uphill battle. Mandatory overtimes, strenuous working conditions, and a lot on the line taking care of veterans every day. Talk to me about some of those challenges.
I feel that right now probably one of our biggest issues, and I think it's all over the VA system, I do believe there's a national grievance right now addressing mandation of employees. When nurses have worked a 12-hour shift and all of a sudden the management decides that they're short-staffed for the following shift, they will walk up 30 minutes prior to the end of the shift and they will mandate an employee. That's not fair and equitable. That's, you know, that's not a plan. That's not the way to handle things. We, as a local right now, are in the middle of discussing and working out an MOU or a memorandum of understanding with our agency on how that should be accomplished using the Nurse Practice Act. The Nurse Practice Act will dictate what is right, what is wrong by the law on how things should carry on and take place for mandation. And the agency itself, in the grievance that we filed, they agreed with the fact that they weren't doing it correctly. And so we're in the middle of discussing an MOU and getting that worked out for our employees.
Donald, earlier we talked about sequestration and the government shutdown. What are your thoughts on that?
I personally feel that was ridiculous. I feel that the punishment that continues with describing the federal worker as being overpaid is ridiculous. Again, if you want to continue to have the superior care that we give our veterans, the American people are not going to stand for not having superior care for our veterans. It's ridiculous that we don't do this. We're here because of what veterans have accomplished. And if you're not going to pay, for instance, physicians that are superior physicians, the salaries that they deserve, then we're not going to have those superior physicians to care for our veterans, which is ridiculous. There is no reason for that. You've got to compare salaries from the civilian life and the government side to continue to have those excellent caregivers and providers for our veterans.
Talk to me about some of the challenges that workers face at Local 903 at the Veterans Hospital there. And are those challenges unique just to that hospital, or are they symbolic of a larger problem throughout the VA?
Well, as I had stated before, I feel that there are a lot of national issues that take place, one being the hospital mandation or the working mandation of employees, the salaries, the sequestration, or the other issues that are out there that are national. Those all affect our employees. Harry S. Truman itself is an excellent hospital. We have veterans that come from the five surrounding states to come to us because of our care that we actually do give there. Our evaluations, our ratings by the veterans are very, very high. We want to continue to give those services to our veterans. We want to care for those wonderful veterans that gave up so much for them to keep us where we are as a country. We have issues at Harry S. Truman, but I find personally that I'd say 50-50. You know, we beat our heads against the wall. They beat their heads against the wall. We come together. The partnership that President Obama spoke of, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it is happening. It's not happening quick enough for me. I feel that it should be happening faster. We continue to fight for our employees, our bargaining unit employees, and we're going to continue to fight for them to make sure that fair and equality is across the board. My working relationship, I feel at times, is okay, but other times it's very frustrating. I try to get things accomplished. My president tries to get things accomplished, and it's an ever-going battle. We ask for paperwork. We ask for things that allow us to continue to do our jobs and represent our employees, and at times it's a battle. They want to know why we want that information. Well, I've already explained why I want that information. I don't have to nitpick and tell you why I want that information. It's the law. If I request that information, then you give it to me. I shouldn't have to beg you to give me schedules. It's right there in the master agreement that says when I ask for those schedules, you give them to me. And they need to be legible so I can read them, so that I can see that you're mandating nurses for undue processes, for unrealistic reasons. I mean, we have employees that are single mothers. We have fathers that are single fathers that are employees. They have other responsibilities other than working at the VA hospital. They have, you know, their moms, their dads their, as their caregivers. A lot of times I don't feel that the administration is aware that we don't work for them 24 hours a day. This isn't the government or the military. We can tell them no, and we should be able to tell them no. That's just the way it works out. Again, I feel that we don't have a terrible working relationship with the agency at Harry S. Truman, but it could be better.
As we close out here, Donald, what are your final thoughts today?
Seeing all my brothers and sisters here is a wonderful thing. I love doing this. Again, I feel that the networking is probably the most important thing here. Seeing old friends, meeting new friends, being able to kick ideas around and being able to cry and be angry and kick the wall, hopefully not breaking your toe, punching the chair or hopefully not punching the wall and breaking your hand. It's just frustrating, but we're there and we're there to represent our bargaining unit employees, and hopefully we continue to strive to do the excellent job that I know we're doing.
Donald White, Chief Steward of AFGE's VA Local 903 at the Harry S. Truman Memorial Veterans Hospital. Donald, great having you on the program today. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll learn about the personal connection between veterans and their VA caregivers with AFGE Local 1988 Executive Vice President Geddes Scott.